Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Acro Full Year 2021 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. Please be advised that this call is being recorded today, Wednesday 25th of August 2021. I will now hand over to your speaker today, Mr. Stephen Boland, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you, folks, for joining us this morning. I'm very pleased to be presenting and announcing the full-year results for Acro Formwork and Construction Services for the 21 financial year. It's another year of growth for the business. It's actually the eighth consecutive year, going back to when we were pre-being a public company, of growth in our EBITDA. So over eight consecutive years now, we've had growth every year, which in my mind sort of defies the assumed sort of thought of the cyclical nature of the business. This business is proving itself to be able to continue to grow irrespective of any cycles through the wider construction industry. Incredibly pleased with these results. It's a testament to the staff of Acro and their ongoing commitment to our customers and the service that they provide. The highlights, the key financial highlights, I'm going to walk through the investor presentation that we've provided. I won't go into sort of every single dot point, but you know, pick out the areas that I think are of most relevance to the results for the year. So in terms of the financial results, you know, all the metrics are in the right direction. So revenue was up 22%, $105.7 million for the full year. EBITDA, $24.3 million, up 25%. Pre-tax profit, up 35%, $10.2 million. Margin continues to be solid in EBITDA, so 60 basis points, 23%. I'm very pleased that we are announcing a full-year dividend of 1.9 cents fully franked. So we paid 0.75 cents in the half year and 1.15 further now. We will have a 5% DRP in place, and as I said, this is fully franked dividend. In relation to both NPAT and underlying EPS, while we did have 10% growth in NPAT and a flat EPS, I'll let Andrew Crather, our CFO, who will walk through the financials a little later, talk about the factors involved really in those numbers being relatively flat versus our other metrics, and how we know that both those numbers will change significantly into the new financial year. In terms of the achievements within the business across the year, the first one really around our higher revenue contracts. It is the core key lead indicator of future performance in the business. You know, we are primarily still a project-based business, so we need to keep winning work. And over the course of this year, we picked up $39.3 million worth of new higher revenue contracts, which is up 34% on the previous year. I'll go into a bit more detail about that later, but we've had, in the course of the last year, our four best months in the history of the business. Over the 8 years I've been involved in the business, we've had the four best months in terms of new contracts won over this period. Three of those have been in the last 6 months. This is a very good sort of 3 to 6 months lead indicator. Look, all of the other key achievements, actually, I just want to point out quite strongly that, you know, over the last 3 years since we've become a public company, there's been four key initiatives that have effectively changed the Acro business that was listed in April 2018 to what it is today. The first of those initiatives was around pivoting our business away from residential markets and concentrating on civil infrastructure formwork markets, primarily on the East Coast and primarily expanding what was already a strong Queensland business into Victoria and New South Wales. What's happened in the last 3 years, and there's a bit more detail later on in relation to Melbourne formwork, is an absolute, verification of that strategy. We have successfully been able to penetrate that market to become from, you know, a very low market share company to almost probably the market leader in the Melbourne formwork civil infrastructure market. So number one, formwork pivot, successful. Number two was the acquisition of Natform. We bought that business in August of 18. And, you know, we were absolutely committed to how that business could expand nationally out of its primarily New South Wales base, and also what it would do for the business and enable us to offer packages of various services on jobs that the screens would sort of give us an introduction to. It's fair to say that business had a relatively slow start for the first probably 12 to 18 months, but it's gone at a cracking pace over this last year. Revenue's up 31% in prior corresponding period through expansion in Queensland and Victoria and also consolidation in New South Wales. And it's now a very important part of what we do and is achieving results far superior to at any time in its previous ownership structure. So second key point, that form acquisition successful. The third key initiative was really the Unispan acquisition that we made in November of 19. This business has transformed ACRO in terms of our relationship with a European manufacturer of formwork equipment, ULMA, and how we've been able to introduce that equipment now nationally, and also has introduced us strongly into the industrial services market that we previously didn't really participate in. Is now a very important part of what we do going forward. And it's also, through the ULMA relationship, given us an opportunity to participate in the sale of formwork systems into the market rather than just for hire, which I'll talk again a little bit later how important that is. So the fourth one is around the industrial services scaffolding business that was Queensland-based at the back of Unispan. We set out 12 months ago with a mission to expand that business nationally, and that's now been incredibly successful, basically doubled the revenue in the last 12 months and will be going up another 50% in the next 12 months. So four key initiatives, pivoting formwork and growing it across the East Coast, the Natform acquisition, the Unispan acquisition, and the industrial services growth nationally, all have been achieved successfully. And has now enabled us to have, you know, a wide footprint of services and products that we can offer across all of the ACRO geographies, which is every state in Australia. And that's one of the key advantages for our business now, is that we've got a range of products and operate in a range of geographies that none of our competitors can provide. In terms of the markets that we operate in, it's fair to say that, you know, the civil markets across the country continue to be incredibly strong. And, you know, on the page where we sort of give the traffic light green and the red picture, if you could actually have a double green, I'd have a double green on Queensland Civil at the moment. That market is about to take off in a very strong fashion, which is great news for us given our predominant market share position in Queensland. The only really soft market that we see in the country at the moment is residential New South Wales, and we don't really participate in that market to any degree any further. So, you know, across all of the markets we participate in, we're in either good or very, very good positions going forward into the new financial year. We roll this out on a regular basis, but it's really the next page that's probably the most relevant point here. However, I will point out some things on this page. Over the last 3 years, the growth in civil infrastructure spend in the country has only actually been a growth of 16%, despite forecasts of it being far superior to that. Over the next 2 years, it's forecast to go up by 74%. I don't believe it for a minute. Those projections will not be accurate. These projects will go longer and flatter. However, there is no doubt there will be an increase in activity over the next period of time. A longer, flatter cycle here is just very good news for us. But on this major infrastructure projects page, the main thing that I want to point to are projects near the top of this chart in crimson, the Bruce Highway and Cross River Rail, and in black at the top, Inland Rail. They're all Queensland-based projects, and they are happening right now. And especially for the Bruce Highway, that's becoming will become probably the biggest infrastructure project and biggest generator of revenue that ACRO will have over the next couple of years. But onto the next page for me is really the story around what's happening in this space. To take you to the middle graph, you can see that infrastructure spend depicted graphically. So you can see it's only gone up from $12 million to $13.9 billion dollars, over the last 3 years. 16% forecast to go up 74% for the next couple of years. Again, I don't think that will be the case, but it certainly will be greater than 16. But the story is that ACRO has grown in excess of that same growth pattern. So bottom right-hand graph, the national formwork revenue for civil infrastructure in ACRO has actually gone up 73% over that same period from 18 to 21. And you can see in the top right graph, Victoria has been, we've gone from basically nothing, $2 million of revenue in 18 to $13.8 million of revenue in 21, from next to no market share to probably 35% market share. New South Wales, it's always been sort of a troubling state for us in terms of not getting enough representation for the size of the market. Whilst that's still the case, you can see that from between 19 and 21, we've almost doubled our civil infrastructure formwork revenue in New South Wales. So we're now starting to get real penetration across some of the most significant projects in Australia that I'll talk about a little bit later on. But I think the real story for us this year and for the next couple of years is going to be Queensland. So again, in that top left-hand chart, you can see in 19, our formwork revenue out of civil infrastructure had dropped to $11.7 million. We've just come off a year where it's $19.6 million. And on a half-to-half basis, the second half of 21 was over $11 million. So it's going, cracking ahead at a pace now, and I expect that to have significant uplifts over the next couple of years. In terms of our success this year in winning new contracts, top graphs will show shows that 33% that we talked about earlier. So up from 16.3 in second half of 20 to 21.6 in second half 21, and up on a full year basis, 29.2 million in 20 to 39.3 in 21. As I said again, it's a very, very strong lead indicator. One of the most pleasing aspects of this growth is Natform nationally was up 61% year on year in secured contracts. So it's a great, and the Queensland business in that form was up 150%. So we went from nearly nothing. We were doing about $50,000 a month of higher revenue in Queensland screens about 12 months ago. We're now doing $250,000 a month of higher revenue in screens in Queensland. In terms of the pipeline, so whilst the pipeline here shows a decline, I should point out strongly that in the June 20 number, we had a $15 million tender that we had put in for a Cross River Rail package that we were unsuccessful on. But that obviously skewed significantly how much work was in the pipeline at that point. So, you know, if you take that out and look, there's nothing of anywhere near that size currently that sort of stands out as one huge package like that. So whilst it looks like it's gone from 76.3 to 73.5, I would point out there was one tender worth $15 million that we didn't win over that period. But overall, again, as a lead indicator for future success, a 3 to 6 month lead indicator is the most important thing that I look at on a month-to-month basis in terms of making sure that we continue to win our share. And we certainly are. We've averaged, in the second half of 21, we averaged $3.6 million worth of new work won per month. I know that par for the business is about $2.8 million. At $2.8 million, we'll hold our own. At $3.6 million a month, we're going to be going further ahead. The next points is around the pivot from residential focus into other focuses, civil infrastructure, and now our burgeoning industrial services business. So this pivot is complete. Discussing residential in macro is basically an irrelevant point now. It's 16% of the total revenue and sales contribution of ACRO. It used to be 60% 3 or 4 years ago. Formwork and industrial services now make up 84% of our contribution, and that will just continue to go up over the next 12 months as certainly industrial services grows by, you know, another $10 million in revenue from 20 to 30 minimum over the course of the next year. So our capital investment focus is in the areas of formwork and industrial services. The second graph on this page shows that how much further contribution we now get out of product sales as well as hire. ACRO had a smallish product sales business prior to the acquisition of Unispan. You can see we're doing sort of $16 million a year. We're now doing $36 million a year. Important point to make is that the Unispan business in the year before we bought it did about $10 million in this space. So we've grown that $10 million on top of the ACRO's 16 to 36 in the last year. Off the back of, obviously we're a national, the national footprint that ACRO's got. Our ability to sell product across all of the markets in Australia rather than focusing on the Queensland market, as did Unispan. Important thing here is that this does not take away from our higher revenue. It accentuates our higher revenue. So there are ranges, especially form workers across the country, that like to buy equipment as well as hire. You tie them into your product. They buy your product as their form work system. They top that up with hire, and then they top it up further with further investment in sales when their economics make sense to them. So these two things are working very well hand in hand. I next want to just point out a few of the projects that we've worked on, just to show the sort of things that we do in ACRO that are not your normal, straightforward, meat and potatoes work that you would expect a company of our nature to do. First project here is the Melbourne Metro Rail State Library Station. Now, we've been incredibly successful on the whole Melbourne Metro Rail project. This particular project highlights, you know, the highly technical nature of the work we do and the engineering smarts that our people are involved in. Now, this system is effectively a gantry that travels 250 metres in length along the cavern that's being formed over the course of this project. So it's on rails, as you can see, and it moves along with it moves along with the requirements of the construction timetable. We're using Ulma MK system here that has so much versatility and use across a range of different products, or a range of different applications, sorry. And you know, the customer here, which is the CYP, Cross River Partnership for Metro Rail, they've now engaged us to supply an additional 2 gantries on other parts of the construction due to the success of this project. Now, you know, this is not, as you can see, this is highly technical equipment. It's basically our engineering team being able to put together the various components of the ACRO system to be able to come up with a solution specific to what the customer needs on a project of this nature. Second one I want to focus on looks a bit more bland in nature, but is actually a very, very great use of a brand new ACRO product. So we, National Engineering Manager Matt Caparella and the business in general, you know, noticed that we had a gap in our product offering to the market. And it was in the real heavy duty propping sort of market. So, you know, we've developed this PowerShore 150 product over the last 6 to 12 months. It's now the heaviest duty prop in the market. The photo that there is the first application of it nationally from a brand new product that was only commissioned 6 months ago. Now this is propping up an underground car park that is having a multi-story tower built on top of the car park. So whilst that's going on, they require, you know, very heavy duty propping arrangement to keep the car park in place while the construction is going on top of it. Should note that this particular application, which is on a job in Duncan Street in the Fortitude Valley in Brisbane, we're getting basically 90% return on the investment of the product on this job on the first job. So, you know, this is something that we designed in-house, we commissioned in-house, we got it manufactured overseas. It comes in at a cost, and on this first application, first job, we're getting 90% return on investment. So, look, a great effort by our engineering team to come up to understand the gap that we had in our product offering, and this product will now be rolled out nationally for ACRO. In terms of the major projects we're involved in, you can see they are all your top-notch projects in civil infrastructure across the country. Excuse me. Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane rail projects. The Melbourne Western Distributor continues to be a very strong project for us, but I want to highlight the last two, Bruce Highway and Snowy Hydro. Bruce Highway, as I said, I think will be our biggest project in the next couple of years. We've already secured revenues on that project of upwards of $3 million. I'll talk a bit about that in a second when I look at some of the major contract wins. And Snowy Hydro is only really just starting to get cranking, and we've only in the last couple of months going into this current financial year, in terms of product work won and also from both hire and labour provided on the job and products we've sold onto the job, somewhere around $2.5 million worth of work we've won just in the last sort of few weeks on that project. And it's a speck of sand on Bondi Beach in terms of what that project will generate over its course. The main points that I want to focus on in terms of the overall segmental breakdown and profitability of the business, as you can see, 87 million up to 105 in revenue, total sales contribution 52 to 61, contribution margin remaining constant, irrespective of the fact that a lot more of our revenue now comes out of sale of product. In our yard costs, we're able to maintain them at a good level despite, you know, having an extra period of time as the Unispan business. Whilst the labour, internal labour has gone up, we're investing a lot of money and effort into growing engineering capability. Now, I don't apologise for that one iota, because it's clear to me that it's a major competitive advantage that ACRO has. So investing in high-quality engineers, we've now got an engineering team of more than 30 people, and we continue to invest in this area, is making a considerable difference to ACRO against our competitors across a broad range of the markets that we operate in. So one thing that, you know, I will point out on the underlying EBITDA of 24.3, I mean, that number has basically doubled since we listed 3 years ago. So, you know, the business is producing excellent results in that area. across the segments. The main things to focus on in our formwork area is a 19% increase in revenue, a 20% increase in contribution margin. So you can see that our margins are maintaining while we are growing. So, you know, rates are not being reduced to win work. Tremendous results in Melbourne Civil, tremendous results in Natform, 84% growth in Melbourne revenue year on year. Product sales are now contributing 49%. You know, this is our core business now, and a very profitable core business. In terms of our industrial services division, so this really is actually the story of the year for us and going into the new financial year. We set out on a mission to penetrate the New South Wales industrial services market. The market in general has very similar dynamics to formwork, and you can see the returns are very similar in terms of it being highly engineered work, not straightforward perimeter scaffold as you would know in a high-story, you know, high-rise construction. This is very heavily engineered, safety-focused, reputation, customer experience. It's all of that. It's all of the things that make the formwork market so attractive to us, also makes this market attractive. So we've grown that business from $10 million turnover to $22 million, just under 22 in turnover. You can see we've basically maintained our margins from around the 47% mark. But the real story is how we've expanded that market, expanded our business out of Queensland now into primarily New South Wales, but we've also won contracts in South Australia and Tasmania. But it's a New South Wales story. In the last few months, we won contracts with Mount Piper Power Station, Raring Power Station, Bayswater Power Station, the Busy Tumut Craft Paper Mill, and also the Snowy Hydro Project. So we're targeting another 50% growth in revenue and contribution this year from this business. We expect to be over $31 million in revenue and sales contribution of more than $15 million in the new year. To give an example of the sort of work that this business does, it's not easy to take photos of the sort of things we're showing here because it doesn't photo very well inside a furnace. But you can see, and this is the Mount Piper Power Station job that we've won, that we are on now, and we'll go for probably around about a couple of month period now and start again in the new financial year. In the new calendar year. There have been some delays, reductions in the current scope of the project due to COVID that will then kick back in the second half of the year. But overall, you can see graphically that we've shown here, this is scaffolding equipment sitting inside a furnace schematic that you see here. So you can see it's far from straightforward. Specialised equipment needing to be designed in such a way that sits in the throat of the furnace and allows the work that needs to be done for the maintenance of the furnace to carry on. Now, we've invested fairly significantly in this sort of equipment over the last 12 months. It gives us the ability to have a complete turnkey approach to this kind of work where we can provide the furnace work, we can provide the other access requirements around the other parts of the plant that requires to be maintained. And this is a lightweight scaffold that is easy to move. And again, as you can see, it's not straightforward, highly engineered, and it's making a considerable difference to the offering we have in that market. We do participate in commercial scaffold, and we will continue to participate, even though it continues to be a problematic business. You see in the numbers, you can see the hire revenue considerably dropped by $3 million year on year, whilst the labour and the cartage number went up by 1.4 in revenue. That's indicative of volume. So volume is strong. Rate continues to be very challenged, especially in the New South Wales market. So, you know, look, we're not focusing on this business. We'll continue to operate in it because it will turn. This is a cyclical business. It's part of our offering. And, you know, as I said, we'll stay in it. We do very well out of it in some markets like Victoria, South Australia, and actually Tasmania. New South Wales does remain challenging, and it's now a small contributor to the overall ACRO business, challenged by rate, but something we will stay in because there will be opportunities to grow margins in this business over time. I'll run through the major contract wins quite quickly. You can see just wanted to highlight some of the different types of things we're doing. So Melbourne Metro Rail, 75% of the packages being let, we're winning. We started from scratch there. We've just developed a great relationship with not just the head contractors, but also the subbies that they're using on this overall project. It's a combination of hire and sale of equipment, and $2.5 million plus revenue, and continues to generate hundreds of thousands of dollars a month for us at the moment, and there's another 18 months or 2 years to run. The Caboolture Hospital redevelopments, etc. That's one very large package of work we've won with one commercial formworker in Queensland that is indicative of the Queensland commercial market for formwork picking up. Melbourne Western Distributor, again, sort of indicates the stickiness of the customers that you start to work with here. We're, again, winning most of the packages being let. That project was supposed to go for 3 years. It's probably going to go for five or six. But we're still generating at the moment a couple of $100,000 a month of revenue. The next two I wanted to highlight because they're indicative of the package selling for ACRO. So both the White Residence and the Capital Court Towers are both jobs that we are providing a range of products on, including screens. So the Queensland growth in our screens business has been a lot to do with being able now to offer packages to builders around their formwork requirements, their perimeter scaffolding requirements, and the screens requirements. And both of those jobs are indicative of that. The next project is the Crow's Nest Metro Station for the Sydney Metro project, just an indication of penetration into the New South Wales market on an $800,000 package that we won on that job. And the last one there, I meant, was actually the job that we looked at earlier with our PowerShore 150, $750,000 plus in revenue on that job. Not just the PowerShore 150, but again, a range of other products that enabled us to offer that package. We wouldn't have been able to do this without the introduction of the PowerShore 150. And the Colon River Rail Bridge is a civil infrastructure project in Queensland. And then the next one is actually the big one, really, for us. So the Bruce Highway, Corroidacurra part of this project, there's something like 40 bridges that have now been awarded to different subcontractors to construct on this project. We will be on all 40. So at the moment, with the packages that have been let, we're at 100% strike rate on what's going to be a very, very large project. The next group, Visy, Mount Piper, Snowy, Araring, all in that industrial services space, all contracts we've secured in the last few months will add considerably to our FY22 results. And the last two are screens contracts, one in Queensland and one in Victoria, large contracts. Again, just wanted to indicate the growth of our business in the screens business and that form business outside of its traditional New South Wales home, but winning contracts of this nature in Queensland and Victoria. Next, I just wanted to, talk a little bit about the ACRO team and the culture within our business and how that's developed over the last few years. We've got an absolute focus now on succession planning. It's something that I spend a lot of my, thinking time around, making sure we've got the right focus and the right plans in place here, developing the depth of talent across the business that will, it's so important for a company with our growth aspirations that we continue to inject new blood and make sure that our people are being developed for their career, have got the right career development opportunities, especially in the engineering space that I said is so important to ACRO's overall competitive advantage. We've had some recent appointments that have, sort of attracting some of the best talent. A new Victorian GM, Brad Craven. Brad comes out of a long experience of managing sizable businesses, servicing the construction sector in Victoria. And Peter Belden came on board in the last few months, has been absolutely crucial in our industrial services growth. Now, Peter was a 40-year veteran of one of the major industrial services providers in Australia and made the choice to come and join the ACRO team, has been absolutely instrumental in assisting us with that growth. And just in terms of our culture, we've got a much broader culture document than this, but I just wanted to pick some points out of it that these are the things that we absolutely believe in. Safety first. We're a safety first employer. We are a customer-focused company, so they're at the heart of everything we do, and it's about providing solutions to the customers. It's not about meat and potatoes work necessarily. There's an element of that, but it's coming up with the best potential solution for a customer for their specific needs of their project. We want to set industry standards. We aspire to actually exceed whatever standards are currently in the both respective formwork and industrial services markets. Internally, we have a culture that's very entrepreneurial and it's very direct, but it's always open, honest and constructive. And we do have a one-team approach. Whilst ACRO operates across a series of branches with a branch network, the way I describe it is that we have a common approach, a common strategy in the business, but very strong local ownership. That's the way I believe businesses run best, when there is a common focus, but there is that high degree of local ownership. That's all for me for the moment. I'll hand on to Andrew Crowther to walk through the financials.
Great. Thanks very much, Steve, and welcome all. As Steve's already shown, our sales for the year went from $87 million to $6 million. When you add on to that very tight cost control during the year, combined with contribution margin being maintained, we had a healthy increase in EBITDA from $19.5 million up to $24.3 million, or a 25% increase. Now, moving from EBITDA down to our pre-tax profit, depreciation moved from $9.4 million up to $11.2 million. Now, that's a $1.8 million increase, but the majority of that is caused by our friend IFRS 16. So $1.5 million of that $1.8 million increase is because of the lease amortization. So that's because you'll probably remember we did a lot of we renegotiated almost all of our leases last year, and this is basically the impact of the full year impact of that. Now, getting down to net interest, our net interest moved from $2.5 million up to almost $3 million, or $500,000 increase. Likewise, the majority of that is actually the IFRS 16 movement in the lease renegotiations. So there we have a, moving down the pre-tax profit, we had a $7.6 million last year up to a $10.2 million pre-tax profit, or a 35% increase. Now, the most significant move you'll see in the P&L, which I'm sure stands out a lot, is our tax expense. Last year, we had a $300,000 tax credit. This year, a $1.5 million tax expense. Now, just starting with the tax credit we had last year, we did go into this. Now, last year, this credit was a little, it wasn't an anomaly, but it was because of essentially the Unispan acquisition we had that allowed us to basically take up an acquisition sort of tax credit. So the credit we had was not what you'd say a sustainable ongoing sort of tax expense. I think in the past we'd always mentioned that our ongoing tax expense would be between 11 and 12%. Now, before I get onto this year's tax expense, I'll sort of reiterate. ACRO is, before we took on that form in Unispan, we were a non-tax paying entity. So we had a lot of tax carry forward losses. And even at this stage, we have approximately $45 million of ongoing profit that will be tax free. But this only exists in the ACRO or the legacy business. The new entities being NatForm and Unispan are both taxpayers. So what we've had this year is we've still had the ACRO business having no tax payable, but NatForm and Unispan, in particular the industrial services business, have actually been more successful in the second half of the year than we've essentially forecast. So what we have here, we have an underlying effective tax rate of 14.8%. Now, I mean, that's not a bad thing. That just means that the growth businesses in that form and Unispan are doing better than we thought. So ongoing, that's probably going to be a similar sort of tax rate. We obviously are always looking at this to maintain or to more efficiently use our structure, but ongoing, that's probably what it's going to be. So that brings us down to an NPAT underlying of $7.9 million to this year, an $8.7 million underlying NPAT. Excuse me. And then down to earnings per share. The underlying earnings per share, which we mentioned before, was relatively flat, so 4 cents to 4 cents. Now, I think, excuse me, it's important to note, as I said, last year's this is all about tax. If you think about it, if we'd had a similar tax rate last year, say 14% on the 2020, we would have had an EPS last year, underlying EPS last year of roughly 3.3. So we would have had a 20% increase in EPS. So this is a tax a tax issue. Ongoing, we won't have that issue because this tax really will be will stay similar to what it is now. Moving below the underlying NPAT, we had significant items. You'll see this year of $2.5 million. Now, this is still mainly a hangover of the Unispan acquisition. Included within this was some integration IT and other sort of integration expenses. We had the final earnout calculation of $150,000 in this number. We also have a number of strategic redundancies. This sort of stuff has been continuing on. However, it's basically coming to a finish now. We also had a number of maintenance and life extension expenses that we had to actually take up for some of the gear that we'd taken on. But had we known, we would have taken that up at the first when we first acquired the business. One of the big expenses within this significant items amount, though, is an additional tax expense of $670,000. Now, the reason we haven't put that in underlying is this tax expense relates purely to the pre-acquisition period of Unispan being before November 2019. Now, what we did when we've gone through our 2020 taxes and 21 taxes, we've had the ability to restructure some of the pre-essentially asset holdings of Unispan and essentially make the most of their pre-acquisition tax losses. So without going into further details of it, if we'd known this at the time when we acquired it, what we would have done is actually increased the goodwill of Unispan essentially and reduced the cost base at that time. But because we're beyond 12 months, we had to take up that $670,000 into tax expense. So from an NPAT reported, $3 million last year to essentially $4 million this year. Also, as Steve's already mentioned, we've announced a final dividend of 1.15 cents, which takes us, when you combine it with the 0.75 of the interim, that takes us to a 1.9 fully franked dividend. And we'll go on to that a bit more in a moment. Now, moving on to the balance sheet. From a balance sheet point of view, this is obviously pre the capital raising we have just recently done in July. Our net debt is up by $7.9 million. Now, cash, we included in that, cash is down by 5.5, debt up by 2.4. Now, the big change in that, we had to pay the Natform and Unispan deferred acquisitions back in October. We had elevated capital expenditure, elevated for previous years in this year, and obviously dividend payments. Now, from a working capital perspective, you can see our receivables are up quite considerably by $7.6 million. Now, there's two reasons for that. Firstly, as Steve has already gone through, our sales are up by 22%. That takes quite a deal of it. And also, because of the way that our sales are increasing, we've got some very large sales, and we've got certain negotiated terms in those sales. So that sort of takes up the other increases there. Also, our inventory, you'll see, is similar to what we were at the half year. So we've made decisions to increase our inventory holdings to take into account and increase sales. But also, there is some slower as we all know, problems with international transport. So to a certain extent, we do have to hold more inventory. Down into creditors, the other big increase there, that's similar increase to our debtors, and because of our sales going up, we've got more turnover of stock and so forth. We also had a lot of CapEx, which we'll go into in a moment, towards the last quarter of the year. So a great deal of that creditors and accrual relates to that. From a gearing point of view, the net debt gearing is 26.7%. Now, obviously, we've just made a capital raise of $10.5 or $10 million after cost in July, and that net debt gearing came down considerably. Obviously, where that heads this year depends on our capital expenditure, but we do see that coming down during the year, but it'll come down considerably in the 23 year. Moving over to the next page, into the cash flow. So, I'll take you through what this page gives us is the operating cash profit, which we also our net debt bridge. So our operating cash profit is the way we've always defined this is our underlying EBITDA, less maintenance CapEx and tax. So what you can see here, we've had to take into account that we've moved from pre to post AASB 16, that is. So for F21, you can see we had underlying EBITDA of 24.349. What we do is we will take off the actual lease payments of $5.9 million, getting us down to a pre-tax EBITDA of 18.475. Now, I just want to highlight that you can see the lease payments here going from last year to 4.4 to 5.8 this year. We haven't got a whole lot of other leases. If you remember, we renegotiated our leases last year, and included within that was cash-free periods. So it's actually it's the same number, just with more actual cash payments rather than new leases. So this year we also had, the next line down, we had IT and other office expenditure of $1.7 million. The majority of that was an IT one-off refresh. That won't be happening again. We just hadn't spent money on IT for quite a bit of time. Our maintenance capex, $4.4 million, up from last year's $3.6 million. This is, however, below our $5.5 million of PP&E depreciation. And we had cash tax of $556,000. That actually related to the 2019 tax. Just to give an update of this year's tax, which what you'll expect next year, we don't believe we'll have any tax payable for the 21 year due to accelerated depreciation. However, ongoing tax will start being actually paid. So that brings us down to a cash profit of 11.833. However, when you take off the one-off IT refresh, we have a $13.2 million operating cash profit. Now, our policy is to pay between 30 and 50% of operating cash profit into dividends. When we take into account the operating cash profit of $13.2 million, our dividend payment for the year will be approximately 34%. So that's sitting in between the 30 and 50%. And given the fact that we are a high growth company at the moment, that is a pretty healthy dividend if you're paying out. Now, moving down to the net debt bridge, you can see we start the year at $14.6 million net debt and ended at about $22.5 at the end of the year. Now, the only things worth really highlighting here is our cash flow from operations of $23.8 million. Really, most of that cash in the current year is used from a growth perspective. Our significant items from a cash perspective is $950,000. We've got CapEx of $17 million. And we have deferred consideration of $3.6 million. So putting all those together, that's about $22 million of that $23.8. And as you can imagine, if you reduce your CapEx and you don't have those deferred considerations, which we won't have after this year, the cash will really start pouring in and you'll see that gearing level come down. Now, moving on to capital expenditure. This is a similar page that we have every year. You can see that moving from the 2018 year, really we had underinvestment in CapEx. And then 2019, the NatForm investment, 2020, the Unispan investment. And also within 2020 and 21, we've had the big pivots towards formwork and now into industrial services, plus all the organic growth we're having. So in the current year, $16.2 million, growth of $10 million. We had the one-off expenditure of $1.7 million. And we had maintenance capex of $4.4 million. Now, from a ongoing perspective, I think you'll probably find that the capex profile will be fairly similar, just because of the growth profile we have in front of us. Now, to the right of the page, you'll also see just a summary of the growth capex as we had during this year, and I can confirm that we still operate on the 40% return requirement, 40% IRR requirement on the growth capex, and all these ones have been proven so far to be more than, in fact, that 40% return on the growth. In fact, if you actually have a look at that growth capex, about $4 million roughly is related to the industrial services and that form part of what I was going on before with the growth involved in those. With that, I'll hand back to Steve.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, I'll just wrap up, folks. Just want to reiterate, our strategy is consistent. It's core. It's lived. It's what the business is about. We restate this in all our presentations, but it's consistent. It's about maintaining our position as a leading formwork, sales, and hire equipment provider,
becoming a leading engineered scaffold solutions provider to the industrial services market. It's about people. It's about ROI, organic growth, spreading the range of products that we have across the geographies we operate in, and continuing to look at acquisitions. We don't really have anything, again, on our plate at the moment, but, you know, if something fitted our strategy and also fitted our return requirement, we are an acquisitive company. In terms of the short to medium-term growth opportunities, you can see, again, they're consistent. You know, industrial services cracking that market across the east coast of Australia, and I would say I've got a very strong eye now on Western Australia. We know there's some opportunities that will probably open up there for us in the next period of time. Formwork growth in Sydney, and probably the biggest one in terms of growth this time next year when we're talking about our results for the FY22, I'm sure we'll be talking about Formwork Queensland. 50% plus market share in a market that is really growing in infrastructure and also commercially. Huge opportunity for us in this space, and certainly kicking into the second half of this financial year, I'm expecting to see numbers going up significantly to where they are today. Continuing to grow the Natform market share in New South Wales and Victoria and Queensland, continuing to spread the product range across the country, and continuing to focus on product sales. There, just in the last few weeks, some very significant product sales have presented themselves to us, and we're taking advantage of that. In terms of the outlook for next year then, totally. So, we have been fairly consistent the last couple of months in saying that we are targeting 22% better than 20% growth in revenue and EBITDA for the FY22 year. We continue to maintain that position. But just, you know, off the back of what Andrew was explaining earlier around why the NPAT and the EPS hasn't moved year on year as much as you would expect them to do with the sort of growth we have had, that said, the tax situation corrects itself, depreciation flattens to a large degree, and that's why we are, you know, very confident in our underlying NPAT and also our EPS being growing, you know, circa 40% plus off the back of a similar CapEx spend in 21 to what we had in 20. We have this degree of confidence around our results off the back of that secured higher contracts number. We have successfully completed the capital raise. It assists with our development in terms of that capital growth, without, you know, without going into further debt, which is something the company was quite keen to do. We were keen to continue our growth pattern. Former activity levels, as I mentioned, especially Queensland, further work in that form, growing that industrial services business just by itself from up to $31 million and $15 million worth of sales contribution. And just finally, a comment on COVID, because we have seen some COVID effect in this last couple of months. With the construction industry shut down in New South Wales for a couple of weeks and the restrictions that are still in place there at the moment, we did lose around about $300,000 to $400,000 of higher revenue in the month of July. However, that revenue will come back at parts of those projects. You don't lose that revenue; it just gets deferred to when those projects kick back in and get ultimately completed. So, at the moment, whilst there was a short term impact on the July profit for the business, it doesn't change one iota our position in terms of our forecast for the total year. So that's it from Andrew and I. Thank you. And we now would go back for any questions that any of the participants may have. Thanks.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Audio participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. First question we have from Alex from Morgan's Financial. Your question, please.
Morning, Steve. Morning, Andrew. So I just had a clarification question on the outlook guidance, please. So revenue and EBITDA growth in FY22 of over 20%, and then underlying NPAT and also EPS growth of 40% plus. So does that factor in the dilution from the equity raising last month? So if it does, then I presume underlying NPAT growth would be greater than EPS growth because of that dilution?
It does factor it in, Alex, is a short answer. Yes, it does.
Okay. All right, great.
Andrew?
What was that?
Yeah, I'm just saying what you're saying is right. But at this point in time, we're staying with those percentages that Steve just mentioned.
Okay, great. And then just on the, just interested in your trading for the first, you know, couple of months of FY22. So you mentioned there you know, the COVID impact in July was about $300,000-$400,000. If that could that potentially not come back in FY22, and maybe, you know, it's more that $300,000-$400,000 you get in 23, or just interested in kind of I guess the risks to a potential prolonged lockdown in New South Wales and Victoria, please.
So the August results that we are pretty much getting close to finalising will have no impact of any construction shutdowns in them. So the effectively what we had to do, Alex, was, you know, we don't like to defer high revenue. We've got gear on sites. But the fact that the whole industry was shut down for those 2 weeks, to be perfectly frank, we didn't want to reduce hire, but we were sort of forced into a position because most of our competitors, or all of our competitors, were. That revenue will 100% come back over the course of this year. In terms of trading, I guess you'll see it at the half year, but these next few months, the month we're in at the moment, and you know, our very accurate forecast at the moment take us out to at least November. They're very strong.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Next, we have Raju from CCZ. Your question, please.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for your time today. A couple of questions from me. Steve, I could well be wrong, but I suspect ACRO has more recently been a bit of a collateral damage from some of the, outlook commentary from Boral and Adbra and a couple of others saying that infrastructure environment is subdued. Can you just give us some color around what you think, where the disconnect is in terms of what they're saying and what you are seeing and clearly demonstrating? Is it to do with timing? Are you growing market share? Can you just give us some color on that front?
I have to say, we were totally bemused by the Boral release yesterday. They're a far bigger company than us, clearly, but we actually were sort of shaking our head a bit because that's not our experience at all. So, you know, I don't really understand what's going on in their business that's different to ours. What I do know is. We highlighted that in the Queensland picture. The biggest road project in Queensland for a long period of time has kicked off. We're on it. That's going to generate enormous amount of revenue for us. It'll be our biggest project over the next 2 years. I don't know whether they've got exposure to that job or not, but we do. The rail projects continue at an enormous pace. The Sydney Inner West Metro contracts have been awarded. That project won't kick off for another 12 months to 18 months, but the contracts have been awarded. We're in discussions right now with the companies that have won head packages on that project. The Snowy Infrastructure project is going ahead at a pace. We're getting penetration there. I just don't understand how anybody could be pointing to that picture. The only thing I can say is that and I said it again earlier about this 70% uplift, because we know it won't be 70%. So if some businesses were forecasting to get that kind of growth off the back of that, then they're going to be misled. But you've got to look at where the projects are, and I think that was the point that I really wanted to make about the chart. The projects are in Queensland for us. That's where the biggest increase is going to be in the next 2 years. And we've got 50% plus market share in Queensland. And on that Bruce Highway project, we're batting 100 at the moment. Every package that's come out, we've won. So I don't understand how people participating in that market can talk in that nature. But certainly from our perspective, our pivot to civil infrastructure away from residential was the right thing to do. And, you know, we're going to continue to grow our business partly off the back of that.
Okay, thank you for that. The second of three questions, if I may. Again, Stephen, into the Queensland market, given the scale and scope of the projects that are there, like Bruce Highway and Inland Rail, and you talked about Cross River Rail and so on, do you foresee inflationary pressures, and how do you sort of transfer that into pricing and margins. Is there that opportunity as the next 1, 2, 3 years progress?
Look, I think one of the factors, and our Queensland manager is very tuned into this, and he's done a really great job even the last few weeks with making some adjustments to his pricing, is the cost of equipment is going up. So the purchases of new equipment out of both Europe and China is going up at a reasonable pace, and a lot of that's to do with freight costs. I think most people would understand that. So raw material costs are going up, but freight costs are also going up. So the cost of a piece of capital compared to what it was 12 months ago, it's probably gone up by 15 to 20%, and a lot of that to do with freight. So our Queensland manager has been leading the charge in ACRO in adjusting his pricing expectations, his customers' pricing expectations, to take account of that. So, I mean, I don't see this as being a negative for us. We've got very good channels still to get material into the country that we know a lot of our competitors can't do at the moment. So if it does become some kind of, I guess, supply shortage or pressure on that, I'm sure we can take advantage of that. But, I don't factor that into our forecast. I factor market share maintaining and current rates maintaining. And just off the back of those two factors, I see what the numbers potentially look like.
Okay, that's helpful. The third question is more broadly around the business and thinking about the link between CapEx and your revenues and earnings. Look, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but roughly around the 45-50% mark of your revenues are on the sales side, and then the balance is in the hire. What is the lag between a $1 CapEx decision today and revenue coming in? Is it 6 months, 9 months? Mm-hmm. How do we think about that?
Yeah, it's you've almost hit it right on the head. It's between 6 and 9 months. So we're making CapEx decisions right at the moment. We've made them in the last few days. And we know that the revenue, because for starters, this issue, I guess, of now of getting product out of the markets, the manufacturing market. So if we order product today, we won't see it till January or February. So we know that. So we're making decisions at the moment about further investment, knowing that we won't see revenue from that decision until, certainly the second half of the year and primarily the last quarter. So yes, it is a 6 to 9 month lag in terms of the investment and when you start to see the return. But again, we know we're factoring into our forecast at the moment that the full year return on the products that we're buying will give us better than 50% uplift in profit.
Sure. Okay. And just to understand that, one follow through question is, tendering activity is clearly high. So is there an expectation or discussions with clients that, look, if you want XYZ projects to start in the course of financial year 22, the CapEx, the orders need to be done by October. Is there that pressure building up given the high levels of project work in the pipeline?
I think it's becoming a realisation for a lot of our customers that they've got to work a fair way in advance of what they're used to in terms of making their buying decisions, and certainly especially in the formwork area. It's not so much pressure in that in the industrial scaffold market, industrial services market, and we can get new product there still relatively quickly and mostly from an Australian supplier. But in the formwork area with specialised gear, we're having these discussions, as an example, Raj, with CYP, the Melbourne Metro product project. There's discussions going on now on a regular basis about what the 6 month or 7 month programs look like, not the 1 month program, knowing that we've got, it will take time to get the equipment required to do the work. And I think that's becoming well accepted by our customers.
Okay, I'll leave it there. So thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Next, we have Douglas from Excellence Investment. Your question, please.
I just got two questions, if I could. It's a great result. Thanks, guys. You've really got the business going nicely. I like the look of it. My first question is, Ulmer MK, you have product from them. what's the view going forward that we get to keep that, that arrangement, that franchise?
So we've got I think about 18 months to run on the current arrangement with Ulmer, and we look, we're in pretty consistent discussions with those guys about what the future looks like. I look, you can't foresee the future, but I mean, I think to be frank, we have our requirement for equipment with from Ulmer has been outstripping their ability to supply. So I know from discussions with them, we're actually making more demands on them for equipment than they are certainly used to in the Australian market, and that's putting some pressure on them. So I mean, look, that's not necessarily a negative thing to some degree. I mean, we've certainly also been able to source some very, very good second-hand, brand-new almost second-hand Ulmer equipment from some other overseas markets to sort of top up supply of equipment that they're unable to meet. So, you know, we're tied to them as our primary manufacturer or primary formwork system supplier. They're tied to us as their avenue into the Australian market. So, you know, I'm very confident that arrangement will stay in place for a long period of time.
So even as your business grows and grows, they're not likely to just all of a sudden say, look, I think I can do this on my own?
I think that's highly unlikely. I mean, they don't have feet on the ground in Australia. It's not the way they normally operate. You know, they're different to the Perrys and Dokers of this world who do that. You know, like Ulmer have, you know, they have arrangements with different contractors. And I know in South America, for example, they've got people they work with over there. They've got guys in the US. They don't have operations in those locations. They have similar arrangements they have in place with us.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. But then the only other question I've got is just going forward on the significant items and the share-based payments, are we expecting anything at all or similar amounts of that in 2022?
I'll let Andrew slightly, but I think, yep, look, significant items will certainly significantly reduce outside of share-based payments. I mean, we have just been washing up a whole range of acquisition, Unispan acquisition issues over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, the sort of 18 months since we bought that business. So we've been washing up those issues, and they're basically finished now. Share-based payments, Andrew, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, look, share-based payments will continue on. The amount of them is a little bit hard to estimate, because when we do new issues, it all depends on, you know, the detailed calculation goes into it, but it will probably be around the $2 million, I would think, ongoing. But as Steve said, significant items is an investment. In general, it's an investment amount, so that should be significantly very low next year.
Okay, so you're looking for significant items of share-based payments around the $2 million mark.
I think very little insignificant items, I would hope, would be, you know, counted in the hundred, you know, the low hundreds, really. But yes, the share-based payments, Andrew, it's hard to nominate the number because I can't work out how we come up. It's a mathematical calculation on the likelihood of rights being granted.
At this point in time, I'd say.
All right. Okay, no, fair enough. All right, that's fine. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are currently no questions in queue. If you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. There are currently no questions in queue. If you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the session back to you. Please go ahead.
Okay, so thanks everybody for participating. I think that's a wrap for this morning. So I know it's a very busy period of time for everybody, and I appreciate you taking the time out today to hear what we had to say about our results. And yeah, you know, I'm extremely pleased with the way the business is running. Couldn't be prouder of the people involved in it. And you know, we're heading on a great trajectory, and that will continue. So thanks for your support of ACRO, and yeah, look forward to talking to you all again at the half year results. Thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.